Good evening. And we are going to turn into our Bibles in 1 Kings. And we are going to read a couple of verses here right now. And later we will read a few more as we go along. And to start off our reading, let's read in 1 Kings and chapter 3. 1 Kings and chapter 3, and we will read starting in verse 9. And even as we start a meeting this evening, we would have the same thought as Fanny Crosby, who wrote that hymn and said, "Close to Thee." And that should be our desire. And as we study together from this portion, we would realize as to how important it is for us to be close to our Savior, what this world is like, and how important it would be for us to be close to Him and almost to be stuck to Him. So let's read here 1 Kings and chapter 3, and reading from verse 9. "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any rise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, and keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." Let's pray again. Our God and our Father, we thank you for this evening, for this time when we can open up into your words and to be able to read and to glean from it. Father, we thank you for the hymn that we sang as to how important it is for us to be close to you. The pressures of this world and the things that of this world would so easily draw us away. And yet, Father, this should be our prayer, even this evening, that we would be drawn close to you. And as we would open up your word this evening, Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, that we might learn from here what this great king has done for you, and yet there has been a downfall in his life. And even through this, that we might be able to learn how we could walk with you. Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for this time. We pray for your blessing. And we pray that you would take all honor and glory. And we ask all this in the most loving name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, it is said, common sense is very uncommon. Wisdom to make decisions, to make choices in small or large matters is a gift from God. And therefore, it is important for us to include God in our decision making. Now, right in the beginning, I must say that we should try to differentiate between knowledge and wisdom. And I would like to say that they are both not the same. They cannot be equated together. Knowledge does not equate with wisdom. One can gain all the knowledge that one wants or needs, but that does not lead to wisdom. One can gain or achieve many degrees, but that will not make one wise. Having said that, knowledge is nothing but gaining a certain number of facts, whereas wisdom is trying to apply those facts into our own lives. We may gain all the knowledge that we want, but without wisdom, this knowledge is really useless. And therefore, we must learn to live out what we already know. And here in this portion that we read, we are going to look at some of the things that has gone on in the life of Solomon. We would know that Solomon has written a couple of books here in the Bible, and he has been noted to be the wisest man that ever lived. Why? Simply because God made him wise. I started studying the life of Solomon not so much because I wanted to study it, but because I was studying the book of Proverbs. And as I began to read Proverbs, you would notice in the study of Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs, many of his instructions have come directly to us by saying, "My son," and then you have all those instructions. And over again in Proverbs, you would see, "My son," and then the instructions. It made me think, yes, here is a man who's giving us some instructions. So I wanted to study more about this person, and that is why I started studying 1 Kings and went to look into his life. And therefore, here this evening, I'm going to look at his life in the sense where there was a rise and fall of Solomon, the wisest man. Now, fall in the sense that he lost favor with God, and later as to what happened to his kingdom. We all know that he was a wise man. He had a great kingdom. He built a great temple. But at the same time, we tend to forget that some of his greatness has overtaken or overshadowed some of the fall that he's had, or some of the faults that he's had in his life. And therefore, we have a lot of things to learn from this man here. So let's go back a chapter and look at 1 Kings and chapter 2. And I'm going to read the first four verses and pay close attention to some of the instructions given here. Now, this is David writing, or David talking. Now, David, his father, is talking to Solomon. And mind you, here is a wise counsel from his father to his son. Verse 1, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel." And here is David, right in the onset of Solomon's life as a ruler, giving him some instructions. To obey God, to obey God's law, and to keep his ways, to walk in his ways. And now, 1 Kings, starting from chapter 1 through chapter 11, you will see this entire passage or the story of Solomon and his life. And you would notice these same words being repeated, these instructions being repeated over and over again, at least four or five times within these 10 to 11 chapters. And one would think that Solomon would pay heed. For some reason, this just flew by. It never became important to him. Now let's look at some of the other instructions that were given here. Now we see here in verse 10, "So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David." And in verse 12, "Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was established greatly." So Solomon's on the throne. Solomon's taken the kingdom. He is the ruler. So he is placed. Now, there are portions of this book here that we are not reading prior to Solomon having coming on this throne as to what has happened with his brother having declared himself ruler. And some of those things I think I'm just going to omit. We are not going to look into that as to how he came to the throne. But Solomon was the rightful person to take the throne after David, and therefore now he's established here as the ruler. Now let's go into chapter 3, the chapter that we read. Now we saw that Solomon has become the king, and now Solomon here has a request. And prior to the request, see what God has asked of him, or see what God told him. Chapter 3, verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." Now it came to my mind, and I was wondering if such a question was asked of me, if God asked me, what would you want? And I thought to myself, and I said, you know, what would I ask God? To make me famous? Isn't that what I would want to be? To be known like everybody else? To make me rich, to possess everything that I can get, or consider my family favorably? Isn't that some of the things that would come to some of our minds? And I think that's what I would have asked. But here is Solomon asking something totally different. At the same time, I also thought, in the case of Solomon, he is one who has already got everything. He does not need anything more in terms of wealth. He is not someone who needs any more fame. He's a ruler. But if we think of our world today, if we think of our own lives, we are not like that. We still like more. We don't end with what we have. Now, if we take our own lives and if we think, do we have sufficient? I think all of us do. But we still like more. We have the desire to get more. But here is what Solomon had to ask. And that is what we read earlier from verses 9 through 14. Verse 9, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad." And I think that is very important even for us to understand, even in this day, to discern between good and bad, right and wrong. Solomon wanted this because he was the ruler, to judge his people. And God favored Solomon for that desire. And God favored Solomon for not asking all these material things. Things that would be destroyed. And therefore God honored what he asked. And see here in verse 11 what God had to say. God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment." And that is what God honored of Solomon, for what he asked, and also for what he did not ask. And see on further in verse 12, "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." God gave him what he asked because he did not ask for the things that would be destroyed, the things that did not matter to God. But what did matter to God was to be able to be a good judge of his people. And then see in verse 13, what he had to say. God says, "And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And then in verse 14, God promises him long life. We will come back to that verse 14, because if you read that verse, you will see there are some instructions that are given before he can get those long life. Now we are going to quickly go into chapter 4, and here we see Solomon is famous for his wisdom and wealth. And in chapter 4 we see this written here in verses 29 through almost 34, the end of the chapter. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Haman, and Chalcol, and Darkar, and the sons of Mehol, and his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees from the cedar, trees that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts, and of fowl, and of creeping things, and of fishes. And they came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. Wisdom and understanding given to him. Largeness of heart provided. He was wiser than all men. And it's interesting to see what, in chapter 10, the Queen of Sheba had to say. Now, in chapter 10, verse 7, the Queen of Sheba came to visit. And there was a reason why she came to visit, because she was not willing to believe the things that she heard about Solomon. She needed to see it for herself. And this is what she had to say. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, an half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. And in 23, so King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. Solomon asked, and God gave. And what a principle here for us as well. We as his children have this great privilege of going to him and to be able to ask. And God would honor depending on what we ask, depending on what our heart is and where we set our hearts on. Again, moving on further, and then you see from verse in chapters 5 on onwards as to how he has built the temple. If you look here in chapter 5, starting in verses 1 through 8, you would see as to how Solomon has begun the process of building the temple. And in verse 5 he says, and behold, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, thy son whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto my name. Now Solomon purposed in his heart to build the temple, a house of God. Remember, Solomon is living in a time of peace. There was peace all around him. And this is the time that the temple needs to come. You remember the time of David. It was all about war. It was war and war. And here comes Solomon, a time of peace. He's taken over the kingdom and there's peace around. But we would also, towards the end of our meeting, we would probably also talk about some of the alliances that he made. Solomon, the alliances that he made and how he maintained the peace. And, see, and we read here in verse 5 how he purposed in his heart to build the house of God. And see here in verse 7, we read about this person the king of Tyre, known as Hiram. And it came to pass when Hiram heard the words of Solomon, that is looking for some things out of Solomon, out of Hiram, that he rejoiced greatly and said, "Blessed be the Lord this day, which hath given unto David a wise son over this great people." Now Hiram realized that Solomon is going to need certain things from him. Solomon is going to request out of Hiram some of the things that he would require, some of the materials that he would require to start the process of the building of the temple. And here in verse 8 it says, "And Hiram sent to Solomon, saying, I have considered the things which thou sentest to me for, and I will do all thy desire concerning timber of cedar and concerning timber of fir." Timber of cedar and timber of fir. Timber provided for the building of the temple. And then in verse 17 we see as to how the stones were provided. And the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones and huge stones to lay the foundation of the house. And the preparation of the building of the temple is in process here. And then we see here in chapter 6 and verse 7, and the house, when it was in building, was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer, nor axe, nor any tool of iron heard in the house, which it was while it was in building. No sound of anything. The material was brought, and just placed in its place. And thus, Solomon completes the temple. Verse 14, "So Solomon built the house and finished it." Yes, Solomon was a wise man. He got the throne. He had the riches. He requested wisdom of God. God provided him what he asked for. God gave him this great honor to build his house. And yet, we read in chapter 11, and we are going to start with this word, "But." But King Solomon, we hear and we see, every time we see this word "but," we have to pay attention, because something is going to be said here. Something has been said, and it is now going to join something else, and they put this word here, "but." Chapter 11, verse 1, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." What a sad story. What a sad testimony for this person. A great and wise God, a great and wise king, towards the end of his life, this is the result. Solomon took many a pagan wives and concubines who ultimately turned away his heart from the true God to their false gods. You would think, or I would think, or we would think, that here is a wise man. Could this happen? God gave him the wisdom that he wanted. Wouldn't he have had the wisdom to discern what was right and wrong, what he should have done. You know, I thought about this, and I thought about, why is this here in the Bible at all? What difference does it make? But I think it is in order to instruct us that these things can even happen to us. God appeared to Solomon twice. We read once, he appeared in chapter 2, and we read that verse there. And I'm just going to look at that again. Chapter 3, when he told Solomon to ask what he would. In chapter 3 and verse 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." Here is the first appearance of God to Solomon and talking to him. And then again, in chapter 9, if you look at chapter 9, and here, God appears to Solomon again. And this appearance is after Solomon had built a temple. He dedicated the temple. He blessed the people. And then God is appearing to Solomon. I'm going to go ahead and read some of the verses here from verse 1. Chapter 9 and verse 1. And it came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, "I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built, to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and wilt keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I have promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them. And this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And at this house which is high, every one that passeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss, and they shall say, Why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house? And they shall answer, Because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil." Truly, God gave him another chance and instruction. Even at the first appearance, God had given him almost the same instruction, because we read that from verses 1 through 14. And I mentioned that we'll mention this verse 14, chapter 3 and verse 14. "And if thou wilt walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." So certain instructions were given to Solomon. David the father charged Solomon and instructed Solomon as to how to lead his life. Solomon, at the end of his life, forgot all those instructions. And in verse 14, we see as to how, if he had kept those promises, God promised him long life. In verse 16, we see here, in chapter 6, from verses 11 to 13, God promises to dwell among the people if they would keep these instructions. And then it is interesting, when Solomon blessed the people, he repeated these words to the people again. In chapter 8 of 1 Kings, he has been saying these same words to the people. Look here from verse 57. Chapter 8 and verse 57 onwards. And he's blessing the people here. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God, day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant, and the cause of his people Israel, at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and that there is none else. Let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. Solomon is reminding the people what God had spoken to him over and over, to obey his words and to follow in his footsteps, in his ways, in the ways of God. Beloved, as we come to the end of this talk this evening, true, Solomon was a great and wise man. And yet, there was a fall, even in his life. Even the wisest can fall. Like we began, knowledge cannot be equated with wisdom. We can gain all the knowledge that we want in this world, but if we are not able to analyze and put that into our lives, it is really useless. Knowing God is the key to wisdom. Obedience to God and to his word will lead to wisdom. And downfall of man will result from the neglect of God's word. And that is what we see from this entire life of Solomon. One who was greatest, one who was liked by God, one who gave him more than what he asked, and yet, towards the end of his life, he was drawn away from the very God who blessed him. You know, we mentioned earlier on about some of the alliances that he made. If you think about it, there was peace around Solomon. He also made various alliances, and all the alliances that he made were with the nations around him, starting with Pharaoh, whose daughter he took later as his wife. So there began the fall of Solomon. It did not start towards the end of his life alone. It began a long time ago. And like I said, within this 10 to 11 chapters, you have God instructing him over and over again to walk after his ways, to heed to his word, to his instructions. And Solomon had a chance to learn, to repent, and turn around. And yet, we read that word, but Solomon. And besides all these political alliances that he made, he also made personal alliances with people around him, and thereby taking unto himself wives and concubines. I was really amazed and happy to hear as to how Brother Paul brought out this morning. Salvation is unconditional, but blessing is conditional. With all the blessings that Solomon had, there was a condition laid out for him. And today that is the same for us. With all the blessings that we have and that we enjoy, there are conditions laid out for us as well. And it is for us to heed to what God has told in His Word. And this should be the measure, this book should be the measure whereby God is speaking to us as to how we ought to live our lives here. You know, like I said, I began the study because of some of the words that I saw in Proverbs. And these are some of the things that I read out in Proverbs. Proverbs 9 and 10, I'll just read them out. You don't have to turn to it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And Proverbs 1 and 7 says, the fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And in Proverbs 2 and 6 it says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And even as we close tonight, this is my prayer for myself and for all of us. You know, we all want to be wise. We don't want to be a fool. We don't want to be known as fools. We all want to be wise. But at the same time, we ought to be on guard at all times. Because even the wisest man has fallen. The only perfect one is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if I had to take a hero, I should be making Solomon a hero. He was the wisest. He asked and God gave. And if that is what I should follow, that's exactly what I would follow. I would ask, God would give. But at the same time, we see here how he fell. And that is what we ought to guard against as well in our lives, that we too can fall, whoever we may be, the wisest, the strongest, young or old. And I'm going to close by just quoting this verse without any comment. I'm just going to read it. It is written here in Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse 26. Just listen. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Anything in this world that attracts us and draws us away from God would be our downfall. Yes, Solomon could have been a hero to me, to any of us. But there is no one perfect but the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who has no sin in him. He is the one who is going to give us everything that we need. You know, we are not poor Christians, and I think we are the most blessed people, and we are the most richest people. We have everything just like Solomon. And God has promised it, and God has reserved it, and it is for us. And we even have a kingdom, just like Solomon. We have a kingdom reserved for us. And one day we will rule with him. And what a great privilege it is for us. And yet at the same time, when we think of all the blessings that Solomon received and that we have received, how careful we ought to be with our lives as well, to think that we too can fall. And how dependent we ought to be on God, and how we have to consider the instructions that He has given to us through His Word. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for this evening. and for the study of the life of Solomon, the rise and fall of Solomon, the greatest, the wisest man, one who fell out of favor of God, one who asked of God for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom, and God gave him everything that he did not ask, riches and honor, and God gave him a nation. And we also see how God enabled him to rule wisely. And yet, Father, towards the end of his life, we see how he was drawn away from you. And Father, we just pray that you would guard us even as we live in this world. The things that can attract us, the things that can draw us away from you, Father, we just pray that you would protect us as well. Give us the desire to learn, to glean from your word, and to meditate and to understand. Help us also to have that power to understand and to have wisdom from you, and also to realize and to discern between right and wrong, good and evil. And Father, we just pray that you would give us such a desire, and therefore we might be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for bringing us all together to learn from your word. And we pray, dear God, that even as we part now, we pray that you would take us in safety. Until we meet again, we just pray that you would be with us. We thank you again for your blessing of this day. And we ask all this in the most precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.